Thanks for joining in to WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to spend the next 25 minutes or so talking about getting your home ready to sell and how a professional home stager can help you out. Molly Marino is with us today. She's a home stager and designing broker, also a realtor, and she's based out of Chicago, and great to have her with us to talk about preparing your home to hit the market. Have you worked with a professional stager before? What was the experience like? Want to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. Molly Marino, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Of course. Hi, Larry.
So,
glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, how do you get a home ready for sale as a professional home stager?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to look at getting your home ready. There's what everybody should do at a very basic level, right? This is your often your biggest investment. You want to make the most return on your investment when you sell. So whether or not you use a professional stager or just are getting it ready yourself, I think there's a whole list of things to take into account. At a very basic level, I think you listen to your realtor when you go on the market and you say, hey, what's the buyer going to say when they come through here? Are there any pain points or glaring issues with my home that you think I should address? And don't be offended if somebody says, oh, that you can't be. You know, as a seller, you can't be offended. You just have to take the expert's, you know, advice. And they may come in and say, hey, you know, that bright red wall isn't going to play very well when you go to sell it. I think you should paint it. It's okay. We all still might love bright red walls, but if it's going to help you sell by painting the wall beige or white, then just do it. You got to kind of divorce yourself from the emotions you have with your home and think about how to make a nice clean slate for the next buyer. So when I look at staging, I look at all of the things, from how does the furniture lay out to are the carpets clean? Have the windows been clean? Are there any paint colors that maybe buyers are going to have issues with? Is there an outdated light fixture when you walk in the door that it's the first thing you see? And would it be pretty easy to replace that for not much money? So it's kind of taking a step back, looking at your home from somebody else's eyes, and not being offended to make some changes, knowing it might not be what you would do in your own home, but keeping in mind it's not going to be your home anymore. Pretty soon it's going to be somebody else's, and that's the point.
That is the point. I used a professional home stager for a lake home that I had and sold, and it was quite a nice experience, a good learning experience. You're right. There were some things she said about the home that I thought, the furniture, I think, some of the furniture.
Now I want to see your furniture, Larry.
But in the end, you know, for that one, she even did a nice video from the lake, in the house, looking out onto the lake and the Monona Terrace and so forth. I wish I'd hung on to that video, because it would have been a nice remembrance of the home. But I found it really did help a lot. How'd you get into this business?
Well, I've been a realtor for about 15 years, and I've always had an interest in making homes beautiful. It's just kind of what I, you know, in my own home, I do that too. And so as I started to work with clients selling in real estate, I would go into some homes and realize, oh boy, you know, we need help in here. And I would start doing it for my clients. I'd say, you know, let me spend a few hours putting some things away and pulling tchotchkes off shelves and fluffing pillows and making beds. It kind of started very gently like that. And then about, I don't know, 9 years or so ago, I had a client who lived out of state and had an investment property here in Chicago, and they wanted me to sell it. And it was vacant and had been a rental for a couple of years prior to that. So the walls were kind of dark and dirty, and it didn't have a lot of luster. And I said to them, you know, if I can put furniture in here and paint these walls, you're going to make a lot more money. And the investment you're going to put into that is, you know, maybe a couple $1,000s, but it's going to net you, you know, at least 50 or 60 on the back end. And so they trusted me to do it. And I thought, instead of hiring a stager at the time, I was like, I know what I'm doing. I used the money they gave me to start my staging company. It was just a little nest egg. And I bought the basics of the furniture and invested in other things myself. And I made the condo absolutely beautiful. I did the before pictures and the after pictures, and it sold immediately. And it kind of snowballed from there, because then a lot of home staging companies are actually just home stagers. I'm actually a realtor too. So people started to hear about, oh, there's a realtor that does home staging. I can kind of get both things in one. And so the past 8 years have just taken on this crazy momentum, which is really fun for me.
What are the details that sellers will pay attention to when they come to your house? Example, how will they take how your home smells into account?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I speak as a realtor, too. When you think about that, when you step into a home, you have a one chance to make a first impression. And if you walk through the door and you walk into a bright space where all the blinds are open and the lights are on and everything is tidy, you immediately say, huh, this has potential, versus walking into a home where the blinds are shut. There's, a stain on the carpet, light bulbs are out in the light fixtures. All of that tells you a little bit about how well the home has been maintained over time. So that first impression is so important. And it doesn't cost a lot of money as a seller to do that. You know, I say simple things like have your carpets cleaned before you go on the market. Spend a day cleaning the insides and the outsides of your windows. It amazes me sometimes when I walk into a place and realize, oh my gosh, those windows haven't been cleaned in years, and there's, you know, a layer of muck on the outside. It's little things, you know, make the bed and make it look pretty. You know, when you walk into a hotel room and see a nicely made bed and think, oh, I just want to sink into that. Try as best you can to make your bed look like that, so when somebody comes to the home, they can see themselves relaxing in that space.
I'm wondering about curb appeal. You know, the house I have now, I have a nice house, but if I was going to sell it, and I'm not, but if I was going to sell it, I would put it up in the middle of July, because in the middle of July, the front of my house is just alive with flowers. Mm-hmm. And the outside appeal is definitely the best it's ever going to look all year in those, say, about the 10th to the 20th of July.
Yes.
Is that a wise move? I mean, curb appeal is what I was thinking about, and I'm sure curb appeal is important.
Well, of course it is. I mean, that's somebody's first, their first impression of the property, right? So whether you have a single family home or even live in a condo building, when you walk up to that building, and for instance, if it's a condo and you walk into the foyer and it hasn't been swept in a while, somebody says, ugh, you know? So yes, that's all very important. And of course, having a nice clean, you know, even if you're not a green thumb and can't keep things alive in your yard, you know, go to the local hardware store and buy a really nice potted plant right before you go on the market and keep watering that thing until your house does, you know, really make it look nice. You know, and there is a trick, Larry, because I know not everybody has the luxury of selling in the peak summer months and getting their house ready when the yards look vibrant. But if you're thinking of selling within, you know, the next 8 to 10 months and you're not quite sure, reach out to your agent and say, hey, I know I'm going to have to list my house in February, but the outside looks fantastic in July. I often will pre-shoot photos, exterior photos, for my clients in the summer, knowing that they're going to be listing in the winter. I just take that one step and say, let's bring the photographer out, capture all those pictures so that when we list in February, I'm not trying to shoot photos with, you know, potentially snow on the ground and, you know, dirty melt everywhere. And it's just thinking ahead, and your partner agent should be more than happy to do that for you.
Yeah. What kinds of small renovation projects have the best return on investment?
Ooh, I love this question. I'm so glad you asked it. You know, in today's marketplace, there's a handful that stick out to me. And when I say them to people, they panic sometimes thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be expensive. And I said, no, it's not. So the number one project right now for me is painting old cabinets. We are in this weird stage where a lot of construction happened in the 90s and early 2000s, and the style from then is definitely not the style now, you know, kind of dark cherry cabinets or kind of this dark wood. And you got to find the right person that can do the painting. But I will tell you, by lightening up cabinetry and giving it a fresh coat, That pays out, in my mind, about 4-1 in terms of the investment. You can do it the wrong way, too. You don't want to have an inexperienced painter just slap some paint on your cabinets. You want a good painter to sand them and do it properly. But it's much cheaper than redoing a whole kitchen or bathroom by just putting a fresh coat of proper paint and maybe new knobs on there. It always pays out. I've never not seen that pay out. Another project is exposing old hardwood floors. Even if you don't have the money to refinish the floors, if they're covered in carpet, buyers always like to see wood under carpet. So it's really nice to just pull that carpet up and say, you know, we can't finish them before we close, but maybe we'll give you a credit at closing. Or, hey, these beautiful oak floors will be yours to do what you would like to do with someday. So that's another one. And I think the other two that aren't very expensive but have a big impact is just swapping out a few light fixtures. If you have a very dated chandelier, or if your bathroom vanity light is one of those old Hollywood lights, you know, with those big round bulbs on it that were very much of the 80s, it costs about, you know, $100 for a new fixture, and let's say at the most maybe $100 for an electrician to install it, and it makes such a big difference. So if you can find a couple key areas that could use a little punch, a little modern punch, those things aren't as expensive as people think they are and certainly pay off. And then the last one that I would say is if you've got old tile in a bathroom, if you've got an old porcelain tub and tile that looks kind of worn and dated, I often think glazing the tub and the tile with a nice fresh coat of white glaze with a nice silicone rim really goes a long way to cleaning up a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that's usually a couple $100 investment as well.
Yeah, so, and it's sounding like the kitchen, the bathroom, maybe the living room. I mean, the key areas.
Yeah.
Or are there key, or am I not right there?
Oh, no. Kitchens and baths are always what sell homes. And then your first impression spaces, your foyer and your living room. You know, when you walk in to the space where you would spend most of your time, it's the kitchen, it's the living room. Make sure your bedroom looks welcoming, but usually you don't have to do a ton of work in a bedroom. And make sure your bathrooms don't look so dated that the buyer says, oh, I'm going to have to gut this thing from top to bottom. Because when they think that, immediately in their mind, they think, oh, that's going to cost me $30,000. But if they walk into a bathroom and it's acceptable, clean and acceptable, immediately that future investment is kind of not top of mind for them. Same with the kitchen. If I walk into a kitchen and think, I'm going to have to gut this kitchen, it's going to cost me $50,000 versus, oh, these cabinets are nice. I might just want to, you know, change out the faucet or maybe change out the counters. That's not going to cost me so much. It's much easier for a buyer to swallow that than a whole renovation.
Yeah. Jeff wonders, is it ethical when staging to ask messy neighbors to clean up their yard or keep the barking dogs inside during a showing?
You know, I think that's a really good question. And I think it behooves you as a seller to say, hey, I'm about to go on the market. It means a lot to me to show my property well. Would you mind doing these things? I mean, you can't force somebody to do that. And I think as a good neighbor, if somebody had asked me to make a correction, I would want to do that because ultimately my equity is their equity. If my house or my condo sells for a fair amount of money, then it's immediately elevating your property value too. So I don't see any reason not to ask for something like that. It's a neighborly thing to do.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. If you have something unique at your home, like maybe it's a pool or an indoor hot tub, or maybe it's an outdoor basketball court in the backyard, do you recommend sellers lean into those items or remove them to make the home more universally appealing, shall we say?
Well, and I always say on that one, this is where I say refer to your agent who knows the area best. You know, there's kind of, as a home stager, and if I kind of take the agency part out of it and say, if I'm just a home stager, I work with an agent to say, what is your goal for selling this property? Who's your target buyer? If your target buyer is a family and there's a swimming pool, then as a home stager, I would say, I'm going to make that pool look as fantastic as I can. I'm going to roll up towels on those chairs and put a beach ball in the water and do all the things that make that pool seem like my dream pool. If the agent says to me, oh, this home has a pool, but our target buyer is a, you know, likely a single guy in his 20s that's not going to want a pool upkeep. And I'll say, well, what about this property would speak to them? And they might say, oh, hey, it's the basement because you can have a pool table down there, a billiards room. Well, then you know, you kind of really focus on who that target buyer is and play to what they would want to see. And I think that's a smart way to think about it.
Yeah, I would agree. Vivian in Green Bay has a comment or question. Vivian, hi.
My comment is timing for your improvements. From the day I moved in here 20 years ago, I've been working on the envelope of the house, which included fill-box, insulation, attic insulation, new windows, new doors. But the interior, I'm not touching that really until I get closer to sell because I do have some pets, a couple of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting my money slowly in to the envelope projects. I'll do the interior closer to sale date.
Vivian, I think that's a really smart thing to do as well, because think about how quickly design trends change. You know, what you would put in, say, 2 years ago, everybody was putting in those gray cabinets, and now everybody's kind of swinging back toward white cabinets again, or maybe a sage green. Things change so quickly, but all those major components of your home, the insulation, the roof, the windows, that doesn't go out of style ever, right? So I think you're doing it the absolute right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Vivian, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. What about photos? We had a lot of photos taken of our home to put up, but what should you think about when taking photos of your home for sale to post online? Which kinds of pictures perform the best? And I'm assuming a home stager, I know you, I've seen your photos on your own page, and they're very striking. But can a home stager help out with those photos? I assume they can.
Well, absolutely. So I'm not going to take credit for those photos, Larry. I am going to credit my professional partner. So I know my skill. My skill is to have a good eye to see a space and to design that space. And I can take a good photo on my iPhone, but I certainly am not a professional photographer. So I think it's important as a real estate agent and as a stager to invest in a professional photographer when you're selling your home. And most agents, at least in my neck of the woods here in Chicago in the suburbs, will provide professional photography as part of the listing package. I would never do it any other way because everything sells online. As you know, these days, everybody's on Zillow and Redfin and downloading apps to look at homes. And so what draws you in, it's that first photo you see of the exterior of the home that makes you want to click. So if I get one chance to make that first impression, I want that photo to be picture perfect. And while my iPhone photo might be nice, I certainly tell you, my photographer that comes in with a Nikon with a nice lens is going to nail it much better than I will. So that small investment of a couple hundred dollars is worth thousands and thousands in the sale of the home to me on the back end.
Hmm. You might hear the advice that it's best to have a lot of natural light in your home, and you mentioned it kind of in passing. And the pictures, what about the pictures you have in your home?
You mean like personal photos?
Yeah, personal or other.
Yeah, so I think it's important when you walk through a home, you want to depersonalize the space a little bit, right? So I always tell people, take down your family photos, take down anything that has a lot of emotional value or even religious value, because you just want a blank slate for somebody to kind of look at the structure of the home and the room sizes. You don't want them to get hung up on your things, right? And I will tell you, there are times where I walk into a home and somebody will have something. Maybe it's a vintage piece of furniture or a piece of artwork that is just so memorable, it can kind of work for or against you. If it's something you like, you walk away saying, oh my gosh, that was that house with that really cool piece of art. If it's something you don't like, you walk away saying, oh, that weird house. You remember that weird room? So I think, you know, it's important to kind of make it a little, you know, tone it down a little bit, remove the personal items from the home, but also you don't want it to have no personality, right? So you can leave a little bit of it. And I always say, look for that second opinion. Ask your agent, ask a home stager, you know, what can I do? And I think there's another way to look at this too. People bring me in, Larry, two ways. Sometimes they bring me in and say, my home is vacant or will be vacant. Will you bring in all the furniture and make it look beautiful like a designer lives here? And of course I say, yes, I would love to do that. I also have sellers call me and say, can I just pay you to come in for a day, work with what I have in my home and rearrange things and maybe rehang artwork and give me a plan for the 10 things I need to do to get this ready. And those are really fun. It's affordable for a seller. I will come in and work with them. I bring my hammer and nails. I bring my, you know, my measuring tape, and I start moving things around and helping them put things in closets. And then we find the holes. We'll say, wait, this wall's missing something. This is what you need to add. I often go online and we'll find something on Amazon or on, you know, Home Goods, and I'll say, go buy this. This is going to look perfect right on that wall, that piece of art. And it's a really simple way of having a second opinion. To just give you another check on your design before you go on the market.
Do you recommend using paint colors that reflect the era of the house, or make everything neutral and kind of boring?
Well, that's a little, it's hard to weigh that because, you know, I live in a vintage bungalow in Chicago and my house is 115 years old. So there is a part of me that says, well, of course you want to stay true to the bones of the house and its history. I think there's a nice marriage between that as well as keeping a home light and bright or even perhaps impactful. Maybe it is a navy blue kitchen that's going to, you know, catch somebody's eye. But I think the idea there is neutral is good. I think when you think about home sales, if you walk into a room that's bright orange, bright red, bright yellow, people tend to, but if you walk in a room that's beige or maybe a neutral, like a slate blue or something, those aren't as egregious in my opinion. So, you know, within reason, keep it toned down within reason.
And how do we find a professional home stager who will work well with you in your home?
Well, there's a couple national organizations for home stagers. I'm a member of the Real Estate Staging Association, which is one of them. But I will say probably the quickest way to find a good stager is if you're working with a realtor, to ask them who their preferred stager is. They will give you recommendations. You can always come to my website, mollymarino.com. I'm happy to make referrals to stagers. I'm connected with stagers around the country through this national network that I'm in. And also, we can't rule out Yelp or Google, looking at reviews and, frankly, looking at people's portfolios. When you come to my website, you will see hundreds of before and after pictures of how I've taken a space from one thing to another, and in various ways. Sometimes a home might be more traditional, and I can't force fit a super modern design in there, but I can certainly elevate the look. You want somebody that has the flexibility to work with the bones of the home and make sure that the furnishings and the design look appropriate for the sale.
Molly, great, and I loved your website, mollymarino.com. The photos are very captivating, and thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Molly Marino and her site, mollymarino.com. Coming up, we're going to take a look at renters and renters' rights. That next. I'm Larry Mueller.